Oh, it's going to record.
Mm.
Oh, well. I wrote down the motions. But I think Chris has got a lot of plans that he's already working on, picking up some of the projects that we were working on, and he'll explain some of those as he gets into his report. But, you know, it's great to have Chris here. I think he's going to be a welcomed addition. He's got more credentials than I did when it comes to the forestry end of things. He is a forester, a certified arborist, correct?
Yep. So that is correct.
Much more credible. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Thanks. A little bit more about my background. Like I mentioned earlier, I grew up in on the west side of Green Bay. I went to Green Bay Southwest. From there, went to UW-Stevens Point and got a degree in both urban forestry and forestry management. Found out after I graduated there weren't a lot of good paying jobs in forestry management, so I stuck with the urban forestry. Out of college, went to the Milwaukee area and worked around there for some private tree services. And eventually, after a few years, ended up City of Appleton as an arborist out in the field on their crews out down there. Learned the trade of working for a municipality, you know, and local government there. And in about 2003, the job opened up at Village of Howard as their forester. So I was lucky enough to be hired over there. And through the 11 and a half years I was there, I took on additional roles and you know, became more involved in the parks and stuff, and eventually the golf course. And had the position of superintendent of parks, forestry, and golf, which is kind of the step down from the parks director, like we have here. Very similar, but kind of the coming here was my next career advancement. And when the job opportunity opened up here, I threw my hat in the ring and was lucky enough to be selected. Really excited about being here and some of the opportunities that we have here in Alloway. As far as some of my other qualifications, like Brad said, I'm a certified arborist through the International Society of Arboriculture, and I'm also a certified park and rec individual. Got that certification through the National Recreation and Parks Association. So, live in Kaukauna with my family. Have my wife, Sarah, two kids, William and Addison. Matter of fact, Addison's birthday was last night, yesterday. She just turned 5, and Will is 7. Right? Yeah, 7. They're growing up so fast. It's like, wow. And my wife works at St. Elizabeth Hospital in Appleton. So we kind of, Kaukauna is kind of in between for us. And the commute really isn't that terrible for me, you know, 20, 25 minutes. Not too bad at all. So back when I was in high school, I had a lot of friends that actually lived in Alloway, because back at that time is when the south side transitioned and went to Green Bay Southwest. So I had quite a few friends that lived over in this side of town as well. So that's in a nutshell. That's kind of my background and what I have to bring to the table. And like I said, I'm looking forward to working with the community and with staff, with the committee here, and going from here and trying to improve and, you know, make the community better.
Locked in for 40 years.
How many years were you in?
19 and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
Well, we'll start our discussion on which one you want to do first. One
was
today, comprehensive outdoor recreation and open space plan.
Sure. What I wanted to do at this meeting, you know, other than you guys, you know, getting to know you getting to know me, I just wanted to go over some ideas that I had that maybe us as a committee can work on this year, and you know, help with some of these types of plans and manuals and things like that that'll help our department help the community better. Some of the things I'm going to hand out tonight are actually plans and manuals that I produced when I was over at Howard. So I wanted to, briefly go over what they are, and then kind of give you the handouts and let you take them with you, and you can look through them in the next month and at some point throughout the year. Then we'll come back and maybe look to produce these type of things for our department here. And one of the other things, the first thing on the list, our comprehensive outdoor rec and open space plan is up for renewal. That we need to update it in 2016. It's a 5-year plan, and now is the time that we should, start to look at the updates so that it's ready and set for us come 2016. Like I said, it's a 5-year plan, so that would be from 2016. It would be good from 2016 through 2020. If you recall, purpose of this plan is more or less twofold. First and foremost, it's to provide or to make us eligible for granting opportunities. In order to get some of the grants, you have to have a comprehensive outdoor rec plan. And as well as that, what we would like, what we utilize that for as the village, as a department, is as a guiding booklet, guiding plan for capital improvements in our parks and trails and things like that. So it really helps us go in the correct direction and, utilize our funding efficiently and do the things that the community wants us to do. So as far as producing the plan, we have several options. Brad and I really haven't had a chance to discuss it yet, but some of the ways we can go about producing this document is what some communities do is they hire out a consulting firm that can go through all the steps of compilation, all the updating. They run the meetings, community meetings, things like that, and they'll take care of all that for you for a fee, obviously. Other option is to hire an intern. We could hire an intern that has this type of background. In Howard, we recently updated our plan over there, and we hired an intern from, I think it was the East Regional Planning Department, or he had some background, working for them. As a planner, head education as a planner, and some of their knowledge is in comprehensive outdoor recreation type plans. So that's an option we can look into. Lastly, we could try to do this in-house or possibly a combination of some of these. But doing it in-house, I think we have the ability to do that. It's whether or not we have the time and the staff time to do it. It'll take some time to do that. But I do look for the committee to assist. We'll obviously, as we go through it, we'll make sure that you guys are involved and get your input. Other thing we should look at with regards to this is getting more input from the community. Whether that's creating a committee that it helps us assists us in creating this, or at least gather input, but from members obviously of our village board, members of the committee here, sport association members, they're the ones that utilize a lot of our athletic fields and that, so we want to get their input. Talk to some of the school district representatives because they also, you know, are users of our sport fields and our park facilities, and, you know, just residents of the community. You know, we want to make sure that their voice is heard as well. So that's something that we'll be, you know, putting on the front burner this year, and we'll definitely want to get working on that. And my thought is that we'll probably get started on that in the next month or two, and so that you know, we can have the document done and ready to go for us by early next year.
So. Chris, if I
sure.
Helen, you were on the last one. Sharon, I don't think you were when we did that one. Were you?
Rob,
you were not. Were you?
I don't think so.
That the current plan was done by Matt Bowman, who was a
It came out at the end.
Yeah. Matt grew up in Alloway, went to Iowa State, and he was in going for his master's. Came back and did this plan, and he worked in conjunction with Brown County so that we could develop a lot of the mapping. So, you know,
I just looked at that tonight. Yeah. It's like I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Experience in it, so. And I think that's kind of, Chris and I have talked very little bit about that. But, you know, within his budget or within your budget, I did put in some funding for an intern opportunity just in case that became a reality.
Okay.
So, it's a long process.
Yeah. But they're good documents because they, like I said, they do help keep you on focus as a department, as the village, to, you know, do what the community wants for the, you know, park system, and you know, try to prevent those flyers of, you know, I want to do this here, I want to do that there, and things that aren't necessarily the best for the community or most economical. So, okay. Next item, I wanted to just touch on updating of our ordinances and recodification. The village is going to go through a recodification, which means we're going to go through all the code of ordinances. We're hiring a firm that's going to go through those in the next 18 months, you said.
Take about 18 months to go through.
And they're going to update our ordinances and go through the books and get, you know, bring to our attention things that are out of date, things that don't make sense anymore, things we should have in there that maybe we don't. But it's something communities go through periodically. But with that being said, it gives us the opportunity to go through any ordinances that relate to our department, parks, forestry, different things like that. And I wanted to hand out... these are, make sure I didn't unplug that. These are four different groups of ordinances that pertain to our forestry operations. Some nuisance things with that one in particular. It's just 7.04 public nuisances. 4 and 5, which would be the ones that you'd want to take a look at there. Here are parks ordinances. And then finally, these are the, make sure I get that right, offenses to the public, which pertain to some of our park things. And as well as, what's the last one?
Look at the lower right-hand corner of each one of the pages. They'll tell you when it was last updated. You see, some of them are quite old.
So, you know, we're not going to go through these tonight, but I wanted to hand them out, give you a chance to go through them and get familiarized with them. You know, things that may or may not make sense to you. And throughout the year, then we can revisit this. We can discuss anything that maybe we want to update, that anything that maybe we want to add to it that isn't currently on our books. that some things that maybe we want to exclude that don't make sense anymore, and or anything that sometimes in the ordinances there's two or more ordinances that contradict each other, and that's one of the things that the recodification company is going to come to us and say, hey, here's the same, it governs the same thing, but it's more than one law. So, wanted to get those to you, and that way, you guys can, in your spare time, when you don't have anything better to do, you feel free to read through the ordinances. But, those are the things that really govern what we do and give us the, ability to make the policies that we have, make the rules of the parks, things like that. So,
okay.
Any questions?
Pop quiz later.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next three things have to do with urban forestry, and these are manuals and plans that I produced when I was over at Howard. And in looking at some of our urban forestry operations, which we're heavy into right now this time of year, this is when we do a lot of our street tree work, park tree work. Something that I realized when I was over in Howard was that it was nice to have these documents that were approved by, over there we had a tree board, very similar to your committee here. And but approved by them as well as our village board, which allowed us to better manage our urban forests. And in particular, one of the plans is an Emerald Ash Borer Readiness Plan, which that's the big buzz word in this day and age. So, the Urban Forestry Management Plan, which is this one I'll hand this one out.
And we must have been too busy over here. We didn't have time to put all these together.
Trying to save paper.
And we're planning, they're cutting down and making paper.
Well, if you get those tablets for everybody like you talked about, then we could have them all electronic, right? Urban Forestry Management Plan, it's a guiding document that for our department and our staff, helps us maintain the community forestry asset. In this example, like I said, from Howard, what you do is you take your urban forestry inventory, the trees you have out there, the age of them, the condition of them, and you're able to determine what those trees are worth to the community. And the best way to manage those trees to be most beneficial to the community. Through our tree inventory, which we're in the process of updating as we speak, we'll be able to better have a better grasp of what we have out there, and in particular, like I said, in particular the emerald ash borer issue, how many ash trees we have, what condition those are in, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when we hand out that booklet.
Is it all trees, public and private?
No, just public trees.
Okay.
With regards to this. But it looks at all of our public trees that, are along the streets within our parks. We typically don't do too much in natural areas with regards to something like this. There might be a small portion that, depending on how much woodlot areas or natural areas and how we would decide we'd want to manage them. There might be a little bit of information in there with regards to that. Any questions at this time? Okay. The next one is our arboricultural specifications manual, and this is a manual that goes hand in hand with the urban forestry plan. This is more of our the thing that we as staff use to on the best management practices. How do we go out there and actually do the work? And what this entails is, how do we plant the trees? How do we prune the trees? How do, you know, why do we remove the trees? Different things like that. That's what this document does. And being slightly separated from the management plan, it gives us the opportunity to update this a lot easier, a lot more frequently if we need to, as management practices change. But this is a very good document that gives us the backing behind what we do. You know, when we're out there maintaining the trees and the residents question if we know what we're doing or why we're doing what we're doing, you know, yes, we do, because, you know, we have the information that explains why we're doing what we're doing for the best of the urban forest and the best of the community. And then lastly, like I said, is the Emerald Ash Borer Readiness Plan. And I know you guys had begun, you know, working on some stuff with regards to that, which, you know, luckily for all of us at this point, you know, it hasn't been found in the community. Not to say it isn't here. You know, it's right down the road in downtown Green Bay. So, but, you know, every community around, nobody's found it yet. And that, but this is a plan that will help us guide us as a village, as a community, in what we, you know, what we can do, what our best management is, and recommendations, utilizing scientific based strategies, and, you know, more frequently you're hearing more about treatment of trees, which, you know, the scientific community has determined that more and more it is cost effective and it is beneficial to treat the trees. So, you know, those are some of the things we'll want to take a look at. And, you know, once we, you know, have a determination of you know, how our ash tree population is within the community, how we as the village wants to assist community members possibly, you know, in treatments, what's best for our urban forest. You know, not every tree is worth treating, and you know, diversification of species is obviously one of the key things to making sure that you know, your urban forest doesn't get devastated. So, it also helps with giving us credence for our budgetary needs for not if, but when Emerald Ash Borer comes into the community. You know, it gives us the opportunity to already have a plan in place with numbers so that if we need to go to the board for, you know, more assistance dollar-wise, you know, we have that written down already. We've already thought about it. We've already done our due diligence. So, but that's, you know, all three of these last three plans and manuals kind of meld together and really help guide us as a department, as our urban forestry program. So. Any questions with that? Okay. Next thing on the agenda, deer and turkey management recommendations. Reason I put that on there, because I'm new to being involved with this, and I wanted to get your input and get some ideas from you, and maybe you guys can fill me in a little bit about, you know, where you've gone so far as a community you know, some of your ideas and some of your recommendations. And my hope is that at some point in the future, you know, we can bring to our board some recommendations on a way to better manage, you know, not only the deer population, but, you know, the turkey population, which seems to be growing within the community. So any information you guys, I guess, can give to me that you're willing to, as far as, you know, Brad, obviously, he and I have talked a little bit about it, but, you know, whether you've heard from other members of the community out there or anything like that. So, any comments?
Is there a problem? I've seen them around. I've seen them in the cemetery and on Oakwood.
We had 12 cross called the other day. My neighbor, she was just sitting at the corner of, just right over there, and the deer just...
Yeah. Or deer, yeah.
Yeah. If you recall, we did the aerial survey last, almost a year ago now. We counted 62. Talking with Ben Nelson from the Wildlife Sanctuary and as well as a couple others from the DNR, they're saying if you saw 62, you probably missed another percent. But they, and they can't say 10, 20, 30 yeah. percent, but if you had 62 last year, what would happen, or what we saw is after the survey, you know, this so... I got to remind you how cold it was.
Yeah.
But it never warmed up. But come spring, summer, just weren't seeing the deer anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I walked the parks a lot and just not see the deer. And so when we got back together in July and we talked a little bit about where should we go with this, we're not seeing the numbers. The turkey numbers were way down. You know, the 40-ish that was just in this flock over here. I think it's still, did they go up by your house?
We haven't seen them up until just this past week. We used to have a whole
there's
flock
what, about
that
15 of them now?
That were, well, there's three in our yard.
Okay.
And that's it. We haven't seen, and one was by himself for about 2 weeks, and then these other two just materialized. And so, but that's all we've seen, and they've been pretty regular in our neighborhood.
So the turkey number went way down, and most likely probably due to the cold winter, and the deer we weren't seeing, and then all of a sudden, you know, close to the rut mating season for the deer, all of a sudden they're just everywhere again. Mm-hmm. And the biggest group I saw in the village in one spot was 26, in the St. Joe. $6 and 20 doe. Yeah, were you there with me that night?
I don't think
no,
no
Trevor was
that night. Yeah,
20 doe.
Wow.
And this was during deer hunting season, right in the middle of it.
This year.
Yeah. You know, they bed behind the village hall. They're constantly crossing. The latest numbers that I gave Chris for deer car crashes reported in the village was. November and December, was it nine?
Six or eight.
One was from another,
one
so it was eight.
Yeah, yep. It was eight. So it was eight. One was from somewhere else.
Which is a lot.
It is a lot.
And we, you know, you joke a little bit about, how do you get a deer doing 25? Well, who drives 25 in the village?
Right.
Who drives 35? Yeah. You know, it's...
You're supposed to be driving 10.
Yeah, 10. So, you know, it's one of those things that they're showing up in areas that people didn't see them before. St. Francis on the median strips, they're rubbing a bunch of the trees through there. We do not have a harsh winter, which it doesn't appear we're going to. I can see those numbers growing again next year. No pun intended, but and I think or this coming year, so or this coming spring. So it's one of those things that, you know, Chris wants to make sure he's got a good handle for the direction we want to go with it. Because when we left it in July, it was, well, let's just kind of monitor the response you get from the public, any complaints. Mm-hmm. Very few at that time, and of course, once all of a sudden the November rolled around, it was more frequent, but not overwhelming. the new hunting regulations certainly may offer some relief, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done if the village so chooses to move forward with some sort of a managed hunt. Personally, I'm not in favor of bringing in any sharpshooters. I think that's just it seems to be a bad you get a bad vibe from it from people.
Very expensive to do that option, and Wisconsin, with its heritage of hunting, and a lot of people, especially with archery hunting, you know, a lot of people, you know, have shown not only in this community, other communities, that, you know, they feel that by not spending taxpayer dollars and utilizing, you know, people that are proficient hunters, that they can better manage, you know, a community deer herd. With that said, you know, it'll be dependent, obviously, on the board. You know, we can recommend to them some management strategies, but the ultimate decision will be with our village board, you know, on the direction that they want to go. Other communities, Ashwaubenon and DePere, you know, they're kind of in the mix of it too, with trying to figure out what they want to do as far as managing.
It's definitely not an easy decision because of the political aspect of it, the public outcry, and the intent is never to eliminate,
right.
It's to control,
right.
Make it healthy, because you know, I think all of us like to see them.
Right.
They're really neat to look at. But
And one person's nuisance is another person's opportunity, and they enjoy watching the wildlife. So that's where the decisions become tough. As far as a committee, you know, I think that at some point we should look into this a little bit further and make some, you know, educated decisions, you know, that we could recommend if the time comes, you know, as far as what we as a committee recommend to the board as some management options.
And to reach out to Ben Nelson again and see, he oversees the Green Bay program. What might be an opportunity to piggyback on theirs as an option as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've got something that's been in place for quite a few years, fine-tuned with him coming on board a couple years ago. So, what a fun thing to deal with.
Yep.
Any comments or questions on that?
They use crossbows too, can they?
Yes.
Yes, they can. I had the last 2 days I've spoken with two different gentlemen. One that asked about the legalities of hunting on his own property right here in town, which is legal. Now with Act 71?
Act 71.
As long as the projectile arrow doesn't leave his property, and he's, you know, certain distance, 100 feet, 100 yards.
100 yards.
100 yards away from occupied building or have permission. So,
is that what they do, that they would shoot them out, say, in the woods over here or whatever, that you couldn't do it within a neighborhood setting?
If you had, take your neighborhood, could be a site that someone could hunt if all the neighbors are in agreement with it.
Hmm.
You'd have to, but there's still some.
Yeah. The thought of somebody shooting a gun next door to you is kind of unnerving.
It would be a bow.
It would just. Is it always a bow?
Yeah.
Is that how they do it?
Unless it's a sharpshooter, that's when they use
unless you would
rifle.
Hire a company to come in and do it.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about here would be crossbow or archery bow, and then another gentleman that called me today said that he saw 14 deer today in his yard, and about a dozen turkeys. So
along the river, or?
He lives over, I think he lived over on the other side of the highway, closer down towards the Fox River, possibly. But I where we've seen, obviously the deer are going to go where the habitat is and live there, which is along the rivers.
Sure.
And this time of year, there's no green cover to hide them or for them to hide in as much, and they're looking for other food sources. So that's why people are seeing them more in their yards right now. So I would tend to believe come May, June, people won't see them as much because they'll be back, along the rivers and hiding where people just won't be. So, so it's going to be a process, I think, but something that we as a community need to broach at some point and come up with, what's best for the community and, what direction they want to go.
One of the things that the committee worked on and recommended was the adopting the state statute regarding feeding of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been incorporated into our ordinance. But we don't have a... you don't have an individual going around checking to see if people are feeding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to discourage people from feeding the birds either,
mm-hmm.
and the squirrels. But if you're feeding the birds, you're feeding the deer, the turkeys. They're coming.
Yeah, and unfortunately, unlike being out in the woods, there's no natural predators, for
2 tons.
So is there an ordinance you can't feed the birds?
No, you can feed the birds.
Oh.
But you got to put a sign up.
Saying, yeah, saying no birds.
Birds only. Yeah.
Birds only.
No bears. Chickadees.
No. Yeah. Any deer that eats this will be shot on.
It's the size, how you have it set up.
Okay.
I mean, typically a deer feeder, you walk in and say, that's not for the birds.
Some licks.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
No.
Good.
What's that other plan? That's going to be a tough one. That's one that's always hard to write.
Anything else you have under the other?
I don't. Anybody else?
Nope.
No. Okay.
All right. Moving on to the report on all our park projects.
Projects for 2015 for our Parks Department. I just wanted to touch a little bit on some of the things we're looking to do this year. Our big project is going to be our Webster Fox River Trail connection trail.
Robin, you still have black hair.
Yeah. It's been... a long, long, long time.
2006.
Yeah.
That's the trail connection. It's going to go right along Heritage Hill along 172, connecting Webster with the Fox River Trail. Brad and I are meeting with McMahon
Thursday,
who's our consulting firm, and we plan to rebid that project in February. It was, according to Brad, the previous bids came in way too high, and mainly because of the time of year and the construction costs. So we're hoping by rebidding it early in the season, the costs will be a lot lower, that the work will be done throughout the summer months. So
you'll cost it lower. Hopefully everything will be...
So that's the big project that we're going to be looking at.
So that's going to be bid out in February, and what do you guys have a target yet of when you're hoping to start?
Mm-hmm. We'll get a little more of a feel for that come Thursday.
After meeting with McMahon?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I get asked all the time. So I'm like, I know what...
Not that you're...
I'll get it redone. So.
Rob works at...
Yeah, so we will, like you said, we'll have more information at the end of this week.
Okay, great.
So, Green Isle Park Diamond Lights, we are going to be replacing the ball diamond lights at the softball diamond at Green Isle Park. There was a budget request that Brad said he was a little bit surprised that he was able to attain the
many
funding.
Years of asking for that.
The board was nice enough to budget $75,000 for that, which in talking with a couple of companies, they feel that we can more than likely hit that mark, that we'll be able to install new lighting at the Bald Diamond for that. Anticipate bidding sometime in March and hoping that we can get the construction and installation done end of April, early May. I think the leaks will have already started by that time, but I would guess that they would be happy that we're going to get new lights at that facility. What was the age of those?
Well, we figured those are very, very likely they're originals.
74.
Mm-hmm. So
it's time.
It might be time.
Yeah.
So that's another bigger project that we're working on. Langley Park tennis courts. We're going to be rehabbing those this spring. That's carryover from 2014. Contractor just wasn't able to fit it in timing-wise at the end of last year. So they're going to honor the quoted cost that they had given us and just do that work this year. So we'll get those done.
Cool.
And then finally, what I have on there is ADA upgrades to our various park locations and elements. We're going to be working on things that have been outlined in our ADA, which is our transition plan for Americans with Disability. And a few things that we're looking to do, which I think, you know, will be the easy fruit to pick off the tree, more or less. Some of the things we're going to look at are accessibility, putting some sidewalks in our parks, working on some of our parking locations, making sure that we're up to date on our signage, and also some of the one of the things I noticed in the transition plan was that one of the high priority things was what they call change in elevation or change in level. For instance, is as you go from a sidewalk into a building, if that change in level is greater than a certain percentage, then that's not legal, and we need to adjust those types of things. So, obviously what we want to do in the end is we just want to make all of our park areas accessible to everyone and do what's right. So, just by working on this, as we can, as our budgets allow, we're going to continue to do that. So.
I think this is year two, maybe year three.
Year 2012.
Three. Last year was probably one of our big years that we did stuff in the parks, and that was a small pavilion in Green Isle. We did the entire slab all the way around it and made the accessible into the restrooms. And then at the Riverview Park, added sidewalks from the parking lot to take you all the way to the back fields. So it's expensive, and it's one of those things that you do with what you can within the money that's allotted. You can't afford to go through and make all the changes at one time. It's a long time transition plan.
And I personally, think that it's a much needed thing, not necessarily just in our community, but in every community throughout the United States, especially with, all of our servicemen and women that are coming back from overseas with the disabilities that they have. And we're going to see that more and more in every community. So it's definitely something that we need to focus on. So.
How's the trail through Green Isle?
What trail?
The big trail. the expanded trail? Is it? I haven't been down there.
It's done.
Is
it's
it done? Done?
From the footbridge in Green Isle to Wheezy Park is all done. It's nice. Yeah. It's really nice.
It's wider, right?
Wider.
Yeah.
Straightened out. We, you know, like we've talked from the very beginning, we wanted to maintain the integrity of the trail, which is to meander as much as possible. But in some areas, we rounded off some of those curves.
Probably a good thing.
The blind spots. And those that you couldn't really do too much with because of wetland issues or it would change the appearance so much, we just cut way back on some of the trees and shrubs that were through there.
Sure.
Just to make sure that it is opened up. Chris will be writing phase two, which we'll be due in May, so he gets to do that this year. Hopefully get that grant funded and then construction next year for the footbridge in Green Isle through Green Isle itself. So then we'll be all set in the
nice.
Major trail area, but then the next step is to look at trying to connect the east to the Fox in as many locations as possible. Mm-hmm. Feasible. Oh, connections. So.
Right.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's
you
know, a sleepy little town, right?
15 or whatever.
Any questions or comments? What did you say?
All good, wasn't it?
It was all good. It was a very positive comment. All right, then I guess we're ready to adjourn. Anybody make a offer?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to read all this. We're having a quiz next time.
I'll be here next time.
Wow.